Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get to your podcast. Field Matthew and Daniel here again today. Happy Wednesday to you.
Thank you, my friend. Happy Wednesday for you.
You're
as
a parrot
well.
Head.
I am a parrot head. So I'm wearing a Life on the Flip Side tour shirt. Went to a couple of different shows on the tour. This is one of them that I got there. I love me some Jimmy Buffett.
You know, Daniel, I have a question.
It is you and I have been to a Buffett show.
Yeah, I don't remember it, but I've been there. I've been to one.
You had, but you and Chapin had fun.
We had a blast. Yeah, from what I remember of it.
Hey, can I? That's where the open shirt photo of.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
That we've used on social a few times. But yeah, Beth and I went. We did a double date with Field and Chapin. We took them to a Buffett show in Boston. Had a great time. Really, really fun night. I invited you to a Buffett show,
you
ended up getting sick like the day before, and you had to bail. But
yes, I
got sick the night of the show.
Right.
So it's like
the Field did it right.
Yeah, we still need to go to a show together. I would love to go to a show with you, Matthew. It'd be so much fun.
You should invite Matthew to one of your random band shows and see what he does.
Yes, a crappy band. I'll take you to a crappy band you never heard of. You can take me to a Buffett show, and then we'll see which one we like more.
I was noticing something, Daniel. Just if I don't know if this is noticeable to you or not. Yeah. For those that are listening to the podcast, it won't make much sense. But if you want to check out the video, or if you already are, please do so. Like, my sleeves are suffocating my arm right now. Your sleeves, you're like the relaxed fit right now.
Yeah.
Your sleeves. We have it's quite a dichotomy between our t-shirts today.
I like a loose fit.
Maximum comfort.
Maximum comfort. Listen, I had a choice, and I realized this a number of years ago. I could either work out every day or just keep buying baggier shirts.
Yep.
And
smarter, not harder.
That's right. Work smarter, not harder.
More than just a hat rack is what you're trying to tell us.
I'm just saying, listen. I was told dad bods are in.
Okay, they are. You're a dad, too. You've got five kids.
I am a dad.
You have every right to wear.
And I'm married. Like, where am I going? So,
Okay.
God bless.
Let's get right into the football because we have some news. And the news off the top involves the Browns in a lot of different ways. So yesterday, we learned that not only was Kareem Hunt placed on IR, but Nick Chubb was also officially ruled out for Thursday night against the Broncos. The game is being played in Cleveland. Just minutes before this show began, we found out that Baker Mayfield is also out for this game. Matthew, no word yet on Odell Beckham Jr. But let's talk about Nick Chubb for a second first, because this is the one that has the most fantasy fallout. D'Ernest Johnson is the next man up. Are you confident in trotting out D'Ernest Johnson on Thursday night?
Confidence is a strong word.
Okay.
Similar to trust.
Mm.
I'm at 23.
Okay.
I'm at running back 23. Now, here's the thing you got to understand. Over the last 4 weeks, the Broncos are the eighth best run defense in the NFL. Now you've got Case Keenum under center. You might not have Odell Beckham Jr. He is a game-time decision. I like D'Ernest Johnson. We talked about him. I actually had him on my team when I did AAF Fantasy League last year, right? So, 2 years ago, whenever the AAF existed.
Time's relative these days.
Right. It's a flat circle. Shout out to Matthew McConaughey. Look, all I'm going to say here is that he is, during Bye-mageddon, when you've got six teams on a bye, and then you've also got some of this, we don't know if we're going to get Saquon this week. We don't know if we're going to get Antonio Gibson this week. We don't know if we're going to have, we know we're not getting Nick Chubb this week or Kareem Hunt, right? So the six teams on a bye, and then you've also got a bunch of injuries. You're looking for guys with a pulse. You're looking for guys that will get double-digit touches. And that's D'Ernest Johnson behind a good offensive line. And now that Case Keenum is under center, the expectation here is I think that they would be even a little bit more run heavy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about Case Keenum in a second. But again, Baker Mayfield's got, he doesn't, regardless of what you think about Case Keenum's talent for a second, he's got 2 days to prep. They do basically a walkthrough on Monday. When you have a Thursday night game, it's basically you've got 2 days of practice. You got Tuesday and Wednesday. And so, how much can they really install for Case Keenum, who is a pro's pro?
I'm not as worried about that part myself.
Are you not?
No, because he's been around forever.
Yes, he has.
And, he knows the system. What do
he's a
to
good do? Pro quarterback.
Yeah.
Not cool. Keith just slacked me and wants to remind you guys that they will likely be without their two starting tackles
that's correct.
As well.
I was going to say that. So you're one step ahead of me like a carpenter. Yes, they're going to likely be without Jack Conklin. They're going to likely be without Jedrick Wills. They're going to be without Nick Chubb and also Kareem Hunt and potentially Odell Beckham Jr. We'll see whether Jarvis Landry is back and eligible. So, Matthew, I think the reason
So that's why I said 23. In a week in which Austin Eckler, Ezekiel Elliott, Dalvin Cook, James Robinson, Najee Harris are all on bye, and as we just talked about, you don't know if you're going to have Antonio Gibson or Saquon Barkley or Alex Collins this week, right? We know Chris Carson ain't playing. And you go down the list, there's probably more than I'm missing off the top of my head. And yet, given all that, I still have D'Ernest Johnson at 23. Like, if I'm starting Browns running back, it's D'Ernest Johnson. Mm-hmm. I think he's a viable flex, a high-end flex. It's going to come down to whether or not he scores. But is he a must-start? He is not. But do I think he has some success Thursday night? I do. Fair?
I do think so. The part that, is so tough for me is that in a week in which you're going to need a couple of things to break favorably,
yeah.
And I know this is 100% illogical thinking. In a week in which you're going to need some things to break favorably for you, if you start D'Ernest Johnson on Thursday night and he gives you 2.5 fantasy points, staring at that box score for 3 days before the games begin is one of the awful. Worst feelings,
it's the worst.
Right? Oh my God. It goes both ways. If last week you were playing against Jalen Hurts and somebody else in fantasy.
Leonard Fournette.
Right.
I was
3 days of just sitting there oh my God, you got to be kidding me,
yeah.
Right?
You forget about it. You check back in on Sunday and you're like, down by 30. Yeah. I forgot.
Yeah. Again, it's illogical. We had that in the war room. I told you, Lou Riddick had Leonard Fournette against me. Right. And
he also had Jalen Reagor against you. I keep telling you this.
This is true. And I ended up coming back and I beat.
Zero points. He started the guy who had 0 points.
Yeah, it was not a good start by Lou. I ended up winning that matchup. But still, you're sitting there watching that and you're like, really? Leonard Fournette decides to have the game of his week when he's playing me?
Yes,
Uncle Lenny,
really,
come
yeah.
on. So yeah. Anyway, to your point, Thursday Night Football is tough for that when you either you go against somebody that has a monster game or you have somebody that just, puts up a stinker. It's tough. Teddy Bridgewater and Case Keenum, Thursday Night Football. Let's go, baby.
So anyways, again, I am being clear that it's illogical thinking. My ranking for D'Ernest Johnson is close to Matthews. That's how confident I am. I don't even know what the word is.
You're unsure.
Yeah.
Again, we haven't seen a lot of D'Ernest Johnson. I think I believe he's got one career game, right? With 10 touches.
Yeah, 13 touches, carries, 95 yards. That was good.
But yeah, 13 for 95 last year in the one game. But again, right. So banged up offensive line, backup quarterback, and potentially not their two best wide receivers. I do think,
and
they're playing a Broncos team that's also desperate, by the way, as we talked about yesterday on the show. These are two teams that started hot and then have gotten a lot of losses. One of these teams coming out of Thursday night, 3-4, and that is not a spot either team wants to be in or needs to be in.
Cool,
both
cool,
are in very tough divisions. Should be a very hard-fought battle, worth noting. I haven't checked it with the news about Baker, but as of yesterday, the over-under was 43.
Lowest on the
week 7 slate. So we're not expecting a ton of offense in this game either. Two good defenses, two offenses that have been, let's say, pedestrian so far. And obviously then you've got the Browns being less than 100%. The one other thing I'll mention here is you mentioned Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry. We're not sure yet as of the status of either of those guys.
Flyer.
Donovan Peoples-Jones looks kind of interesting, right?
He had 2 touchdowns last week. Now, one of them was a Hail Mary.
Of course.
But still got
a decent amount of targets, had 70 yards the week before
mm-hmm.
on, I think, 5 receptions, was 5 for 70 the week before. So I know they like DPJ. DPJ.
Right.
I know.
Sleeper.
Yeah. So I just think that's it's by McGinn. You're sort of looking for guys with a pulse. I like Donovan Peoples-Jones as a sleeper on Thursday night.
Good call right there. We got a bit of an injury update for the Giants, who are dealing with all sorts of injuries right now. Saquon Barkley banged up, as we know. Sterling Shepard out of the lineup. He's now back in. Kenny Galladay, he's been banged up. Their left tackle, Andrew Thomas, placed on injured reserve. Daniel Jones, of course, did not miss a game, but he got banged up 2 weeks ago. He was able to play against the Rams. And now there's news that Kadarius Toney, who left that game against the Rams very early, has an injury that's more serious than an ankle sprain, not as of right now placed on IR, Matthew, but sounds very iffy for this week on Sunday against the Panthers. I mean, we're at survival of the fittest
right now in New York.
It's pretty much Sterling Shepard or bust. Right?
I was going to say it's Sterling Shepard, maybe Graham Cano can line up and give you a few snaps on the outside. You know what's amazing is that even with all these injuries, Kenny Galladay's not expected to practice today. Obviously, he missed last week.
I know where you're going with this.
We're not expecting Kadarius Toney.
And I guess we're going to go with this?
Where?
Like, you can't even play Evan Engram.
You can't. I mean, that's what's amazing. How is this possible? How is Evan Engram, like, by the way, and I like Evan Engram just as a, you know, like, you know, super nice guy and good player. But, like, it's just weird that, like, Evan Engram went from, like, the hottest thing in fantasy football during his rookie year, you know, and somebody that was, like, this guy that they're going to build around to, like, now with no one healthy, still can't seem to get the ball.
He's definitely scoring 3 touchdowns on Sunday, isn't
he? You know that, right? Right, right, exactly, right. Somebody's playing that clip for him. I have to look. I probably am playing. If I am playing against him, you know he'll go off. But yeah, I can't imagine. Like, it's, again, it's a brutal week, so anyone with a pulse. But, like, he has gotten opportunities before like this where he's basically been the one healthy pass catcher and still hasn't gotten it done. Yeah. In a significant way.
Tough times right now.
Look, and they're playing the Panthers. Tough defense. Panthers, pretty good defense.
Panthers, a good defense to have this week in your lineup as well, if you have been so fortunate. They've been good all year, actually, yeah. In fantasy. All right, so what we're going to do now is we're going to talk about some players that might be streamers. And normally when we talk about streamers in fantasy, it's either a defense or a quarterback. So I guess some of these players aren't necessarily streamers because they might have multi-week value, but players that we think, if you're looking for a hope and a prayer, we're going to make the case for them for week 7. We'll go back and forth. I'll start here, Matthew. JD McKissic, who, yeah, by the way, has 3 top 15 finishes this year, probably should be considered more than just a streaming option. And what does he do perfectly well? He is a very good pass catcher. As we have talked about, your Washington football team is a 9-point dog playing against the Green Bay Packers on Sunday. Game flow could be very much in McKissic's favor. This is excluding the possibility that Antonio Gibson does not play on Sunday, which would only bring the value even further up for JD McKissic. Coming into waivers, he was available in over 50% of leagues, Matthew. Go take a look if you need a running back to play this weekend.
I like to call JD McKissic. So, hey, Madison, I'm going to jump around here a little bit as I talk to our producer on air. But Hunter Renfro, mm-hmm, of the Las Vegas Raiders, yeah, would be a guy that I would mention here as well. Hunter Renfro has at least 5 catches in every single game except one so far this year. He's averaging over 7 targets per game. And then you see there on your screen, for those of you watching the video, like, here's a guy that, you know, the Eagles have given up touchdowns at the 3rd highest rate in terms of slot passes that they face. Obviously, Hunter Renfro lines up out of the slot. They were certainly aggressive last week. New play caller Greg Olsen, their offense coordinator, being very aggressive. I thought the Raiders' offense looked really good last week. Got a big win for them in a tumultuous week. So Hunter Renfro in a good matchup is somebody that, you know, has the eyes, if you will, of Derek Carr, another streamer that we've talked about this week that we like at quarterback.
No doubt about that. And let's go to Monday Night Football for a pair of players. I'll start on the Seattle side. It's DJ Dallas. Now, as of right now, it's very unclear what Alex Collins' status will be for Monday night. If he plays, he's the Seahawks running back that I probably most prefer. But if he doesn't play, there's another player that could be entering the ring, and that's Rashad Penny. Before you laugh, this guy's had a couple of moments in the past that he's, yep, looked close to the player that was taken in the first round, 28th overall, much to the chagrin of many, including Mina Kimes. But I want to mention him because we could find out by Thursday or Friday whether or not he is expected to play on Monday, and perhaps if Alex Collins is not expected to play on Monday. But the name that I wanted to bring up in this context is DJ Dallas, who last week had 5 targets. He got 5 passes last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And during Bye-mageddon, you want to hunt for those PPR opportunities. If you have 5 catches at running back, you're probably looking at like at least 8 fantasy points, at least 30 receiving yards total, like, and with the chance of 10 or 12. Like, if you start DJ Dallas against a run defense in New Orleans that for many, many years, it feels like, has been very good against the run, specifically, yeah, over the past year plus, then maybe this is a game where Seattle is forced to distribute the ball more through the air than on the ground, and DJ Dallas gets you 5 to 7 targets, which might be enough, especially if Alex Collins is unavailable.
Yeah, definitely. And then on the other side of the ball, how about Marquez Callaway? You know, I think a lot of people looked early in the season at this game and said, oh, well, this is the game that Michael Thomas comes back. That's not going to happen.
Correct.
So Marquez Callaway, who had 8 targets the last time we saw him, that week 5 game against Washington where he scored 2 touchdowns. Same as Donovan Peoples-Jones. One of that was that crazy Hail Mary at, yep, the end of the half, but still.
Who's that against?
Washington, the worst defense in the NFL, Got Washington it. Football team. Sure. Like, they didn't even bother jumping. Like, go watch that Hail Mary. Like, I don't, like, weird stuff happens. effort, man. Mm. Like, you guys are being paid millions upon millions of dollars.
Right.
Millions upon millions of dollars.
That was a weird
play. Like, freaking jump.
Mm-hmm.
Try to knock it down.
Mm-hmm.
Show some effort.
Mm-hmm.
Love of God.
I know.
And anyway,
I'm not going to poke the bear any further.
Yeah, well, listen, the fact here about Callaway, though, is that you can throw deep on him, right? Like, you can throw deep on him. Their pass defense has struggled so far over the last 4 weeks. They're the third worst pass defense in the NFL. So Callaway, who's, you know, had 2 weeks to prepare for this game, is going to be the number one passing option for Jameis Winston in a game that we think actually could potentially be, I actually think it's a sneaky high-scoring game here. The over-under is 44. I would take the over on this. I think Seattle's offense gets better at home after another week. So anyway, Marquez Callaway is a streaming option as well. A
couple of quick mentions. We'll go back and forth here. Darnell Mooney for the Bears coming off a 5-catch game this past week. I was a little bit cautious. I mean, I was a little bit cautious just because this passing offense is so bad right now. They have not thrown for over 200 yards in a game this season. However, they do play the Bucs, whose secondary has just been so decimated by injuries. You figure Chicago will be playing from behind. You figure they're going to have to throw the ball a lot.
When you're on the field with Patrick Mahomes, good things can happen. Mecole Hardman has at least 60 yards each of the last 2 weeks here. They're playing Tennessee. You know, the Titans have struggled in their secondary. They certainly did Monday night against the Bills. I don't think anything has changed there. They, you know, Caleb Farley out for the year, right, as well for the – that's for the Titans. Yeah, for the Titans, and obviously Kansas City is at Tennessee this week. So banged up secondary that has not performed up to expectations for Tennessee. Mecole Hardman as a flyer. They have a lot of weapons there, but he has started to come into the offense a little bit more consistently last couple of weeks.
Yep, a little bit better for him recently. And the last one I'll mention is just Zach Ertz for the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah. Got to get used to that one still. He feels a need, though, as they have lost Max Williams for the season. Now, worth noting, Arizona has not targeted their tight ends much this year. You might argue that's exactly why they traded for Zach Ertz,
sure,
though. They have a player of Zach Ertz caliber that helps see more targets towards the tight ends. All right, we're going to go a little bit off the grid here and talk about some of the best values so far in fantasy football in just a second. But first, before we do that, hey, do you own or rent your home, Daniel?
Field? I swear. Currently, still, maybe. The answer is maybe. Okay. Hopefully, we'll find out.
You might.
Someday.
But if you do, I bet it can be hard work. But you know it's easy? Bundling policies with Geico.
Yes.
Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
You know, we can't all be college football national champs, but every one of us can be an Eckrich National Tailgate Champ. And you don't need years of training. You just need Eckrich Smoked Sausage. To win, you need to show Eckrich how you do every game day. Do you have a special recipe passed down over generations? Do you dress your sausage with team-colored toppings?
Yes.
Do you lay your deli meat on your sandwich as thick as you lay down the trash talk? Well, however you do, Eckrich wants to see it in all its glory. Enter at Eckrich.com/tailgate. That's Eckrich.com/tailgate.
All righty. Let's get into the players that have been the best values so far in fantasy football and then our expectations for the rest of the season, Matt.
Right.
You mentioned him just a couple moments ago. Let's start with Leonard Fournette,
yeah,
who coming into the season was the 30th running back drafted on average. He was going near the back end of the 9th round. Some context. Way after a guy like Myles Gaskin. We'll talk about it at some point later on, too. But Leonard Fournette has three straight weeks as a top 15 running back. He's been the fourth best running back over the past 3 weeks. And we talked about this recently, Matthew. I think it was Friday after their game. Or was it?
Against the Eagles, yeah.
Yeah, it was Friday after the Thursday night game.
Last Friday,
the Eagles. Yep. He's playing. I would argue he's playing the best football of his career.
I think you
and I also agree that like the circumstances are very much set up for him to have a great level of success because of the wide receivers they have in Tampa Bay, the offensive line they have in Tampa Bay, their up-and-coming quarterback they have in Tampa Bay. With all that being said, last year, Ronald Jones, who's got plenty of talent on his own, had the opportunity to seize this job, and he could not. So Leonard Fournette has been really fits like a glove in that Tampa offense. It's been good to see. And I think, Matthew, that he can keep this up.
Yeah.
Because they have Giovanni Bernard for when they need to play from behind. They're not going to play from behind very much.
No, and by the way, they don't mind him. I mean, he's got three catches in every game this year, right? Fournette.
Yeah.
Like, they like him in the passing game as well. It's not like he's just a thumper, right? You know, I mean, like, that happened like his last really good year in Jacksonville. They started using him in the passing game here. The arguments against Leonard Fournette forever were a couple things, right? Number one is, was volume dependent because Jacksonville was so bad, because he hadn't really developed the passing game part of his game, and health. He had struggled with injuries for a lot of his early career. So you think about the pre-draft process here. Well, he was part of a committee. Could he stay healthy? But there were some signs there, right? Like, he had a really good playoff run. He had a really good playoff run last year. And Ronald Jones, to your point, has been there for a while and has struggled to sort of – he's been given a lot of opportunities, and he has struggled to, pardon the pun, take that job and run with it. And so – it was clear. So what ended up happening with Fournette this year, Fournette has played well. He continued the momentum he had at the end of last season. I think Fournette also realized, like, this is it. I was the fourth overall pick, and my team literally released me. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't pick up my fifth year option. They released me, and they used a top five overall pick on me.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, they were sort of done with him. And so I think Fournette understands, and you go to a team with Tom Brady, you sort of, like, you know, it literally, like,
your accountability goes way up.
Your accountability goes way up, and sure, a team like that with a bunch of veterans and a veteran coach like Bruce Arians.
What do you got, Daniel?
But, real quick, I'm just curious, when you guys look at where he's at right now, RB15,
right?
Do you think that's, if you were projecting rest of season, is he a top 12 to 15 running back? Do you think that's a little high? Do you think it's a little low?
I think it's sustainable, just because, here's the thing, they're done with Ronald Jones. The only way Ronald Jones gets back in is if they force to.
Right.
If Leonard Fournette does something really dumb. I mean, because Ronald Jones, bad fumbles. Like, he missed a brutal blitz pickup that just got Brady killed. Yeah, and that was sort of like, and like, that was just one of the ones where, like, Brady looked over at Arians and, like, you knew, like, Ronald Jones ain't coming back in anytime soon. Like, yeah, you know, like, so I feel like they're famous, similar to fantasy managers, and then, like, we're all just sort of done with Ronald Jones.
Sure.
Yeah. And right, and they have Giovanni Bernard, who is a veteran player. So I do think, actually, when you think about how good that offense is, how efficient it'll be, and that offensive line, I agree that Fournette should keep this up for the foreseeable future.
So I'm not going to ignore the concept of calling a player, like, top X at his position, top 10, top 12, top 20.
Sure.
But I am going to try to rethink some of this stuff as we get further into the season, because sometimes what I do is I'm just like, yeah, he's like a top 20-ish running back. And then I'm like, wow, I've got 38 guys in my top 20-ish running backs, right? So what I will say about Leonard Fournette is, so I categorize him as a guy that I expect him to have a 10 to 20-point week in any given week, right? Like, I think the floor is about 10 points.
Yep.
And
depends
while
on
you'll
gets
have
an account,
certainly 30 points is possible. He did it last week.
Ceiling.
But I'm
like,
aware.
In my mind, I know, but you still want to relax.
Yeah, I know.
But, like, 20 fantasy points is, like, seems pretty reasonable to me from Leonard Fournette. Like,
you could
have four 20-point games over the course of a season.
Here's what I would rephrase it. Slightly. I understand what you're saying about the, because I do. I throw that around too. I'm guilty of that as well. Yeah, he's a top 20 play. He's a you know, high end flex, blah, blah, blah. Here's what I would say. He is a starting running back. Like, it depends on, obviously, your depth and the size of your league, et cetera, but do I think in a normal week, should he be a starting running back for you? Yes. In most leagues, he should be.
That's
yes.
Ooh, I love that, because that leads us into our next running back, because I want to know if this guy is a starting running back for the rest of the year, and that's Cordarrelle Patterson.
So sometimes in fantasy, we rely on the numbers, and we use numbers that we have seen and sort of project them forward, right?
Right.
There are enough numbers that tell you that, like, some of the stuff that Cordarrelle Patterson is bound to, like, just level off. It just, yeah, at some point it's going to happen.
He is scoring at an unsustainable rate.
He is. At the same time, sometimes in fantasy you do things that are purely based off of momentum, right? Like, I was looking up players that have scored in, like, multiple games in a row, right? Hunter Henry scored, I think, three straight games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at some point, Hunter Henry is not going to score a touchdown,
sure,
in a game. And it's not like he's scoring a touchdown while also grabbing 7 or 9 catches per game, right? Like, the touchdowns have saved you. But I'm still, like, I think if you have Hunter Henry, you're like, yeah, I'm starting. Like, he keeps scoring. Why would I not play him this weekend, right? Cordarrelle Patterson, you're going to play until the wheels fall off dramatically. And it might be that happens next year. Right? Like, this has happened in a few instances recently. Robert Tonyan, Eric Ebron are the two most notable examples that come to mind. But with Patterson, the role seems to be growing. They are not chock full of explosive playmakers on that offense. Calvin Ridley being back and Kyle Pitts developing certainly aids that cause. But if you look at Matt Ryan so far this year, like, they have not thrived on vertical passes down the field.
No.
And Matt Ryan is relying much more on the short to intermediate passing game, and Cordarrelle Patterson either can come out of the backfield for some of that or lined up out wide. So for now, like, I'm continuing to classify Cordarrelle Patterson as, like, I'm absolutely unequivocally starting him. He's one of the best options that if you used your RB2 pick on somebody like Miles Sanders or Miles Gaskin, and you're like, how do I play this guy? Well, if you have Cordarrelle Patterson, your question's answered for you.
I'll even say this. I prefer, and I don't think this is super controversial, but I prefer for the rest of the season, since we're actually being asked to project this forward, I prefer Patterson to Mike Davis the rest of the way. I just think he has more scoring equity, more scoring upside. To your point, the unsustainable. I mean, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when you're like, he can't keep the settlement. I literally said, like, listen, jokes aside about, you know, being 8 years too early, but, you know, I've always been fascinated by his talent and the potential of Cordarrelle Patterson, because he is big and fast and strong, and, like, just guys aren't built that way, right? And so, for whatever reason, that he hasn't been able to be fully unlocked at various stops throughout his NFL career. But it feels like Arthur Smith and the Falcons have found a way to use him. And to your point, it's an offense that has struggled and doesn't have a lot of playmakers here. So Patterson has been a top 20 fantasy running back in four of the previous 5 weeks. The 1 week he wasn't was last week when they were on a bye.
Yep.
Like, you're starting a guy that's top 20 for four straight weeks. You are, and you're starting it for a while. He now has, I think, a fairly long leash before you're taking him out of your lineup.
Yeah, I agree on that.
Are you selling? I mean, is there any? My only question is, do you think that, like, this levels off to a point where it's still a sustainable rate where you can start him, but do you think that this is peak value, and are you selling now before it gets to that point?
Make me an offer. Just curious. Like, if you had a player that comes to mind where you're like, all right, hey, I would be willing to trade you this player for Cordarrelle Patterson.
I don't think I'm not the person to ask that, because I wouldn't buy Cordarrelle Patterson rest
Here's
of the season.
Here's one, then. Let's do it right here. If I offered you Leonard Fournette and you have Cordarrelle Patterson, just because of the last two players we talked, who would you prefer the rest of the season?
I think Fournette.
Okay.
It's better offense.
Yeah, I agree.
Fournette, but I think that's the right
range. Yeah.
So I think, like, that's the right range. Like, here's one for you. If I offered you, let's take a struggling player. You've got Allen Robinson.
Yeah.
I'm offering you Cordarrelle Patterson for Allen Robinson.
Taking his heartbeat.
I have Allen Robinson?
You do.
Yeah, good luck. You have him now. I'm taking that trade like that.
I agree with Fields.
Crazy,
I would much
right?
rather have Patterson crazy. Than
what
Allen Robinson.
What low-end RB2s are in that? And I don't want to just stick on these two players, but, like, Cordarrelle Patterson is someone that, like, all fantasy managers are trying to figure out what's the right move with him. Do I just keep him because it's going to be here? Do I try to sell? What can I get for him?
Yeah, you know. Listen, it's hard. I mean, it's hard to make trades with a player like this, because I think most reasonable minds expect there's going to be some regression. But
right.
there are
we should play
so
a name game. We should play a name game
so
with Cordarrelle Patterson. Do you have a name game drop?
No, Matthew. Do you have the name game drop? Did
no,
you put
I'm
it together?
Not the producer.
Matthew,
well,
there's,
talked about this
there's so many things that go into this. It's not just a name game drop.
All right,
can't use any of the ones we had
forward.
Before.
Let's move forward.
Well, Iowa fans, please send us name game drops.
Okay.
Even if fans send us name game drops, unfortunately, we won't be able to use them because we're on different platforms now. The only music that we can play is music that comes from our in-house stuff. So that's a big part of what I'm not trying to get into, but I'm not the bad guy here, Matthew Berry. I just want you to know I'm not the bad guy.
You might be the bad guy.
I'm not the bad guy.
I'm looking at you. I'm the bad guy.
I'm looking at you, and I've decided you, in fact, are the
I understand
guy.
You have decided that.
Wow. I've decided
you
were the bad guy.
You and half of Twitter
no
have decided I'm the bad guy.
Half of Twitter hates you? What do you mean?
Well, the half that like Matthew, or oh, not half, okay. like the 30%
Wait,
or whatever
I was
going to
say.
Yeah.
Is there a half that
half?
Likes me?
That's is there impressive. Like a, you know well, what the term Q
wait
score?
Wait into Reddit sometime. You won't find half there.
I did that once. I'm never doing that again.
Yeah. Do you know the term Q score?
No. Yeah, Q score, yeah.
It's something to describe, like, basically your popularity. Like, you know, so-and-so has a... Whatever, like, I feel like...
like, these, Oprah has a Q-score of 100.
Q-score,
like, right, exactly.
Perfect,
everyone
right?
loves Oprah, right? Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes has a high Q-score in the NFL,
right?
right? Like,
yeah.
players
yes.
like that.
Jackson Mahomes has a negative Q-score,
wow.
just to give you an idea
wow.
of, like...
Wow, you just did that. I feel
yeah,
like...
I got news for you. You dance on Sean Taylor's number, yeah, I do that.
Well, I was going to ask, is there like a, we need to develop like a Twitter Q score. Like, you couldn't call it a Q score because it's not really a Q score, but it's like of the million people plus that follow you, like, what percentage actually like you? Like, actually do so because they want to? And what
I think looking at the numbers, I think it's Stefania. I think that's pretty much it.
He's the only one.
My million followers. I think it's at
Stefania. The only one that likes you.
I think it's at Stefania underscore ESPN. And I really think it's only because she gets access to my wife.
Oh,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like,
yeah,
you know, she really loves Beth. And so I sort of get that halo effect of being married to Beth. And so Stefania. But I think that's pretty much it.
Okay. I don't think I don't have a Q score because you got to get recognized in public, I think, in order to get a Q score. And I don't get recognized in public enough.
That's not true. You do. Well, like, you're making fun of me. I was just curious. I don't know. Like, none of us.
He never had a I are on outside
no,
of this.
We were. This is a whole discussion. Screw you. I'm gonna screw you, dude.
I'm so sorry. I know I just derailed the whole show by
doing
exactly. that. I'm so sorry.
Daniel went out to a baseball game with a couple of the guys that work here, and I was somehow came up and I was like, "Oh, do you get recognized?" And I didn't mean it in a mean way.
I know you didn't. I
meant it in a way because you and I are on the fantasy show on ESPN Plus, which we love. But let's be clear: ESPN Plus is in terms of the total available audience on ESPN Plus, it is much smaller than the audience of, for example, ESPN or ESPN2. So you are not on TV. You are on this show,
correct?
But you're not on this show in a significant fashion.
Correct.
Right? And so, and I don't know how much I don't watch the clips that they do of players, so I don't know how much screen time you get when we do player clips.
10 to 15%, I'm going to say. 10%.
You know, and so now I'm like, I don't know what the audience is. They tell us people watch, but what do I know? Like, how many people watch the full show of which, you know, like, and so you have a unique, distinct look. Mm. But so that's all. I was just like,
yeah, I know.
I was actually excited that you got
me too.
That you got recognized in public,
and that most of the time is because of the fantasy show. I have a lot of people that talk about the fantasy show. So
which ESPN minus plus,
ESPN minus plus,
it's crushing it right now.
Is, really absolutely.
Thanks, buddy.
Absolutely.
All right, so I'm so sorry.
It.
I derailed all of that with an inside baseball joke.
Here we go. Let's rip through a few more values. Fine. And there's a case that Mike Williams is the best value in fantasy, and it's not really that close. He has been unbelievable. His ADP amongst wide receivers was 48th. He was going in the back end of the 12th round.
Yeah.
He's wide receiver 5 this year at 20.1 points per game, and he laid an egg in 1 week, right? He has had 4 uniquely dominant games, and a couple of them where I think he really legitimately tilted matchups, Matthew. To me, he's been the best value in all of fantasy football.
He was on the preseason love list and liked him as a sleeper. I talked up the Chargers in the preseason as one of those offenses that I think would take another step. You guys know Austin Eckler was my ride or die. And even in my wildest dreams, Field, I had no expectations that this would happen. Like, again, like I feel like I was as pro Mike Williams as a lot of people were in the industry coming into the season. And I never thought he would be wide receiver 5, that he would, I think there's an argument to be made that he's overtaken Keenan Allen as the number one wide receiver on that offense. I think that offense is really good and can support, obviously, 2 very fantasy relevant wide receivers. Keenan Allen's still a rock star, but, like, you know, Mike Williams, like, this isn't out of nowhere, right? I mean, in the sense that Mike Williams is just like, where'd that guy come from?
No.
This guy was a top 10 overall pick in the NFL draft.
But he had never had 50 catches in a season.
He had struggled with health, and candidly, let's credit the coaching staff of the Los Angeles Chargers, I should say, because I don't think Mike Williams was maybe necessarily used the best
prior
to the current regime.
All right, so it's out of nowhere. It really is, Matthew. And we both follow. And
it's
hold
out of
on,
nowhere in the sense
let me,
that,
let me,
I mean,
me
hang on, let me just finish that, and then I'll shut up. I was just going to say, I just want to clarify that when I say I don't think it's out of nowhere from his talent.
Okay. But it's out of nowhere in this regard. You and I both follow and engage, interact with, and respect a ton of people in this industry.
A ton, sure.
Okay. And even if he made like the preseason love list and like others receiving votes or whatever, I did not see a single person this offseason make a case, a sustained case, maybe even a mention of like, I think Mike Williams would be a top 10 wide receiver this year.
1,000% agree
with
that.
Not a single person. And there is more coverage of fantasy football than just about any other sport in the world right now. People love fantasy. It's out of nowhere. And I'm not saying that we all as experts are, like, I'm not trying to bring demerit upon our profession. I'm just pointing out that, like, I don't care how much you study, how much you know about these offenses, how optimistic you are about a particular team or player, some things are completely unexpected in fantasy football. And frankly, Matthew, that's what makes it fun. That's why when someone invites one of us into their leagues, like, we're honored and we hope to win. But just like if I play in a 10-team league, I've got a 10% chance of winning, just like you do, right? Like, that's the beauty of fantasy football. So
slightly
I'm
higher
very...
than 10%. I mean, you know. But, yeah, I get it. In theory, you have I have a slightly higher chance than 10%. Yeah, okay. But, look, I agree with all of that. I agree with all that. Look, but Mike, did anyone expect him to be the fifth best wide receiver after 6 weeks in the season? No. But did people think he would take a step forward? Did people think the offense would improve? Did people think he would be used, in a much more versatile role than he had been previously? Yes. I thought that, and a lot of people thought that. I mean, he was a popular sleeper.
Sure.
I'm with you. Top five is definitely a big surprise, and he is certainly, I mean, again, his ADP was wide receiver 48. He's wide receiver 5.
Let's get to another couple of players that have been unbelievable values this season. Sterling Shepard was undrafted in 76% of leagues. He was the forgotten man in this Giants offense.
Yeah, buddy.
Because of the draft pick of Kadarius Toney, the signing of Kenny Galladay. They had a lot of mouths to feed in this offense. Saquon Barkley's eventual return. He has played three games this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's been a top 25 wide receiver in each of those three full games. He has had a ridiculous target share, Matthew, and you could make the case that some of this is because of the injuries elsewhere. Sterling Shepard's just a good football player, man. Like, he may not be, top of the food chain amongst these wide receivers, but just a good player, consistently open. He has looked the part this year, just like he has the past couple of years. I'm happy for this guy. He has been a really, really solid top 20 player on a points per game basis, a wide receiver.
It's an offense that's going to have to throw. He's obviously got a connection with Daniel Jones. And, oh, by the way, he's available. He's on the field. He's healthy, which is not something that you can say for a lot of the pass catchers of the New York Giants. I'll go with another one as well that we talked about in the preseason as well. And listen, make no mistake, I've gotten plenty of calls wrong. This is not all about back padding, but I did like Emmanuel Sanders coming into Buffalo as the number two to Josh Allen, and he's been great. He was a guy that was undrafted in over 80% of ESPN leagues, and he's wide receiver 24 in the season. He's averaging 15 fantasy points per game. He's been a top 25 wide receiver three of the past 4 weeks. And it is clear that Josh Allen and him have a real connection, that, he looks for him early and often.
Totally. He's been awesome. He is playing literally faster than ever before. Somehow at the age of 34, he's like the fastest player in terms of next gen stats for Bills players this year. It's been awesome to see that. Again, we all thought that like Cole Beasley could have a chance of replicating his success last year. He may, by the end of the season, have comparable numbers, but it's clear the number two pass catcher right now in Buffalo, really where I think it's actually probably... Matthew?
Here's a question for you.
Hold on. What do you got of this? I think what we probably assumed is that if Emmanuel Sanders had a good year this year, it might come at the cost of Cole Beasley or someone else. Like maybe it was a tight end did not emerge.
Yeah, I mean, it's come at the cost of Gabriel Davis.
Oh, or you can make the case a little bit of Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, a little bit, sure.
A little bit. No, I'm not saying Stephon Diggs is not still amazing, but his numbers through six games, I don't know.
He ain't wide receiver three in fantasy, which
right?
is where he was drafted.
Yeah, which is probably, man,
he was wide receiver two or three, depending on where you're drafted.
Yeah. So I think that might be the reason why that might be the...
Now, here's a question, because Daniel always wants us to, to spin it forward.
Right, yep.
Emmanuel Sanders is what, 34 years old? We got a 17-game season.
Yeah.
Now, Emmanuel Sanders is a pro's pro, right? He's been around a long time, knows how to take care of his body, but... they're running a lot of routes. Are you selling high on Emmanuel Sanders? Again, he's 34 years old.
Yeah, man,
they got
not
some.
Really.
They got some cold weather games coming down down the stretch in Buffalo.
Not really. Would you? Because that offense actually, I know they weren't great on Monday night, but I think sort of started slow and kind of crescendoed upwards. There's a case that Josh Allen's as fantasy friendly of a quarterback as there is in the NFL.
I'm a believer in Emmanuel Sanders, and honestly, whatever you trade him at will be a profit. Again, guy was undrafted in over 80% of ESPN leagues, but I don't mind it. I'm not actively looking to trade him, but I'm also, if somebody made me a real offer, I wouldn't be no, get away from my precious.
Sure.
I'd be open to it.
Yeah, I think there's something. It's not a terrible thought given the age, although I don't know. I'm not super concerned about this year. It might be hey, if the Bills had the opportunity to re-sign Emmanuel Sanders right now for 3 years and $27 million, would you advocate for that? Yes or no? And I'd be all right, as great as he's been, I'm not so sure I would be doing that at this moment.
Right, sure.
That's a real football conversation, not a fantasy conversation.
Exactly. And for the record, Buffalo, I am willing to sign for 3 years and $27 million right now.
You're 34. You're also 34, right?
I am also 34 years old.
Right.
And, you know, like I've probably missed more time than Emmanuel Sanders, actually, when you think about it. But I am willing to sign for that amount of money.
Quick back and forth on mentions, just guys who have been awesome this year. Your best call the preseason was Jalen Hurts potentially being the number one quarterback in fantasy. He's been quarterback 5, but he's the only quarterback that's been a top 12 finisher every single week. Next one, Matthew.
Darrell Henderson. Yeah, awesome. Cam Akers went down, there was a lot of people that were poo-pooing this. I'm like, this guy has top 5 fantasy running back upside. Like, being the lead, and even when Sony Michel was drafted, people were like, now it's going to be a committee. I'm like, I don't know. Sean McVay's a one-back guy, and I get the health question with Henderson, but if he's there, he's got upside. Well, so far this year, he's running back 9. He hasn't been top 5, but he has been top 10. And in all 5 games this year that he's played this season, he's been a top 20 fantasy running back. He has clearly got a stranglehold on that job. As long as he is healthy, he is a fantasy rock star for Sean McVay and the Rams.
There's a case for Cooper Kupp as the best value in fantasy as well. Matthew's little Cooper Kupp has been wide receiver 1. He's averaging over 25 fantasy points per game this season. He has 3 finishes this year as a top 3 wide receiver. He keeps finding the end zone. The Rams have been on fire as an offense.
I think it's completely sustainable. And for somebody that, you know, I've been a massive fan of, you know, the whole joke about my little Cooper Kupp, I did not rank him ahead of Robert Woods. I got to own that. That's one of the biggest shocks, I think, of this year, is that I think the buzz out of camp from the Rams was the amazing connection that Matthew Stafford and Robert Woods had together.
Right.
You know, Lindsay Theory talked about this on air. Lindsay Theory, who covers the Rams as good as anyone out there, she does an amazing job for us every single week. And she's just like, I'm as shocked by anyone as this, because I was at camp every single day. And I'm telling you, Stafford and Woods, like, that was a connection that you saw like every single play. It was unbelievable. And so we come to the season, my little Cooper Kupp absolutely crushing it. But yes, wide receiver, he was going in the 5th round. He's the number one wide receiver in fantasy so far this year. Speaking of picking the wrong teammate, pretty much everyone out there had Brandon Ayuk over Deebo Samuel, and I'll own it. So did I. Mm-hmm. We were all wrong. Deebo Samuel's been nothing short of fantastic. He was going in the 10th round, wide receiver 40. He's the 3rd best wide receiver in fantasy this season, despite, shall we say, inconsistent quarterback play in San Francisco.
Would agree on that, by the way. I need to own the Brandon Ayuk. I thought it was going to be great. By the way, the 49ers thought that. Like, I don't know what is going on there. That's another conversation for another day.
But this next one is one we both nailed.
We did. We loved Antonio Brown. We thought he could be the value of fantasy football this preseason, as he was going as wide receiver 43. Now, he's been a little bit up and down, but he's wide receiver 6 so far this season on 19.1 points per game. Over the past 2 weeks, he has nearly 56 fantasy points, Matthew. It's not that hard. You're the best wide receiver for a decade. You play with the greatest quarterback of all time. You're going to be good.
And by the way, we talked about this in the preseason. You and I both said this on multiple preseason shows. The guy that has the biggest sleeper, the guy with the biggest upside, is Antonio Brown. It seems weird to talk about a guy that was the best wide receiver for a decade as a sleeper, but he's going outside the top 40 of wide receivers. And this is a guy who, over the final 8 games of last year, had a 20% target share. Mm-hmm. He finished the season strong. I think he had 4 touchdowns in his final 4 games. Now, he had that crazy week 17, which skewed those numbers, but still strong in the playoffs as well. Literally came to Tampa Bay and lived with Tom Brady for a while. There's clearly a connection there, as Tom Brady advocated for him to come to Tampa Bay after they'd been together in New England for a little bit. So there were some signs there, and you and I did not understand why he was so low in the ADP and sort of the consensus ranks. He was much higher in our preseason ranks as well. And just, again, sort of playing it forward, if we were redrafting today, Field, for the rest of the season, where are you drafting the Buccaneers wide receivers? Just rank those guys 1, 2, 3.
I think I would go Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin.
I actually think I might take Brown, Godwin, Evans, only
really?
Because
Evans is so up and down.
Evans is up and down. I'm nervous. Of the 3 guys, I think I'm most nervous about Evans getting injured. Feels like he's always dealing with a hamstring injury here and there. They'd all be really close. Like, if I was doing overall ranks, they'd all be within like 5 spots of each other. But I'm just saying, like, I think the point is like, it's a conversation. Mm-hmm. Whether you wanted Godwin or Evans or Brown, and you could make an argument for any of them, and I would be like, yep, that makes sense. I totally get it. Mike Evans is as good a player as there is in the NFL. But I just think, Antonio Brown looks like Antonio freaking Brown.
He has been dialed in. Last one here, and I just want to mention this, and what I want this, I want somebody to do, I want, Kyle, you're the most responsible person on this show.
Okay? Ain't me.
I want you to think about this clip, and then next August, like every 3 days, play it for me and remind me. It's preseason. We had 7 months of waiting around for more football. That does not mean that we can devise irresponsible takes based off things that happen in exhibition games or practices. There is evidence from literally every year of preseason that things we see can either mislead us in a positive way or a negative way.
Yeah.
You have to remember the context. Ja'Marr Chase is one of the best wide receiver prospects that we've seen in 10 years. So what? He dropped a couple passes in training camp. So what? He's been wide receiver 7 this season at nearly 19 fantasy points per game. Daniel, just make sure I always see that clip.
I promise I will not let you forget that. Okay. Before we move on from this group, we just talk about a bunch of guys that we think are best values for the 2021 season right now and rest of season expectations.
Yes.
Is there anything other than hold on to these guys and keep playing them? Are any of these guys that you're saying you should do something other than keep them on your roster?
No, these are just a reminder that oftentimes the most important rounds of your draft are like rounds 6 through 11. Those can be where you win your drafts, right? Like, I get it. If you took Christian McCaffrey, you're disappointed because you've had to survive without him. But the real difference makers can often be rounds 6 through 11. Before you take your kickers and your defense, maybe a second quarterback or a rookie who might not even hardly play. Like, these are the money rounds in your draft.
Sure. Deebo Samuel might be the one guy that I might look at. You know, like, I just think Brandon Ayuk is too talented not to emerge.
They'll
get Kittle back at some point soon here. The quarterback play has been sort of. Yeah.
He's had two touchdown catches of like 70 or more yards this year where there was nobody within 25 yards of him.
Exactly.
Which I hate to take away. Like, you can take away every player's best play. It looks a lot different. I don't know how much that would change his narrative, but I think that's fair. Of those five, he might be the one that gives me like. And I'm talking like a 1% bit of nerves.
I want to give one other person in terms of one other mention here for best value. And we could do this for a long time, right? I mean, listen, Kirk Cousins is a top 10 fantasy quarterback. He was undrafted in pretty much every league. But I'll give you one guy, which I don't think people will. But Derrick Henry.
Mm.
Derrick Henry was basically drafted as like 4th or 5th overall on ESPN. But he's not only the number one running back in fantasy, he's number one by like 70 points.
Yeah. And the number one player, period, in fantasy right now. No quarterback has more points than him. No wide receiver.
I thought there was one quarterback that did. I thought he was the number two player.
I was told he was number one. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think Josh Allen may have more fantasy points than him. But we'll look that up real quick. But either way, the fact of the matter is at fantasy's most scarce position, he's not only number one, but he's number one by a wide margin. And so I get it. He went in the top 5 of drafts. So how can you say a guy like that's a value? Well, ask anyone that drafted Christian McCaffrey who they'd rather have right now, or even Dalvin Cook or Alvin Kamara or Ezekiel Elliott or Saquon Barkley, all the guys that in some cases went ahead of Derrick Henry. I mean, Derrick Henry has been, you know, you basically got a player and a half out of Derrick Henry.
He's been unbelievable.
Derrick Henry has 170 fantasy points. Number two in that list is Josh Allen with 156.
How about that? Number one player, period. Does not even matter what position you were talking about.
I just think he's just an amazing value to get.
Totally agree.
You know, to get, right, basically a player and a half at 4.
Yep. Wow. And number two is Austin Eckler at 128. That gap between one and two is huge.
Well, that's amazing. Like, Austin Eckler was my fantasy ride or die.
And he's amazing.
He was going as like number 14 or 15 overall. Gosh. He was going as running back like 12 or something like that. He was going in the second round in ESPN. I had him 6 overall. That was a great call by me. And yet, it's completely dwarfed by how amazing Derrick Henry has been.
Right, I need this, Kyle. I need this stat from you. The gap between Derrick Henry and Austin Eckler, I think if I did my math right, is 52 points. Let's figure out 52 points fewer than Austin Eckler would be 76. What running back is that?
42 points.
42 points. Whatever. I was not a psych major. So 42 points fewer than Austin Eckler will get you down to 86 fantasy points. What running back has 86 fantasy points this year? Like, I want to know how big that gap is. That is absurd. Kyle is texting me right now, and he is telling me the answer is 42 points. All right, I need to figure out.
All right.
So RB14.
Nick Chubb has 82. Alvin Kamara has 87.
It's crazy. Anyways.
Add Alvin Kamara and Austin Eckler together, and you get Derrick Henry right now.
Ridiculous.
That's
insane.
That's bananas.
We need
that's
to air it,
that's
some...
insanity. By the way, also, you know what else is insanity? Field Yates was a psychology major?
Yeah.
Well, you were a psych major?
There weren't a lot of options for a guy who wasn't exactly smartest, sharpest guy.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. you know, I was like
a sharp spoon.
Did you want to be in mental health? Like, what did you want to? What were you going to do with that?
No, to be honest with you, I went to college, took an LB and econ major. Right. I struggled through some of the first courses and was like, I don't know that I can keep this up. I took a class called social psychology at Wesleyan. There's a professor named Scott Plouse who has been like a 7-time Connecticut professor of the year. It's probably the most well-known course at Wesleyan. Mm-hmm. I thought it was fascinating. I loved it. And I decided to follow that path.
Okay.
Yeah. I always knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a football coach. So it wasn't like, what I majored in was not going to be determined. Yeah, that wasn't going to change my desire to be a football coach. So I'm not saying it didn't matter. I just it wasn't like I needed to get a business degree because I wanted to go into this sector. I wanted to be a football coach or spend my life with you.
Yeah. It probably like now you have yourself as a patient. You can complain to yourself. I was just saying, should we do a show where it's
a lot of self-diagnosing?
Like, yeah, maybe me and Daniel, let's do a show where we tell our problems to Dr. Field.
Oh, gosh.
It's like, he is a psychology major from Wesleyan University, a respected,
very respected
institute of higher learning.
Pretty impressive.
It is pretty impressive.
Can I say,
actually,
right, we got to go.
I have a friend that used to say he had a bunch of rules for life. And one of his rules for life was never date a woman that was a psychology major. So just like, because his take was that they're the ones that are the craziest. That was his sort of take. So I would love to talk to Chapin about this and just,
Is Field the crazy one?
Is Field the crazy one?
Probably. All right, we got to move to the players that have been very disappointing this season. We will do that in just a minute. But first, support for this podcast and the following message comes from Supercuts. Let's face it, life is busy between work and family and more. Our to-do lists have a way of getting longer instead of getting shorter. Luckily, Supercuts is here to make at least the haircut part of life easy. Supercuts is perfect for people who need a haircut but don't have a ton of time for a haircut. No more scouring the web for salons with availability. You can use a Supercuts app to find the time so you know exactly what you're in for. That way, you're only in salon when you need to be. Don't expect to stay a while. As for the cut itself, it's always super solid thanks to Supercuts' highly trained special stylists. Get in, get out, and get to that thing you need a haircut for. Whether you've got a big presentation coming up or a wedding or you just need some upkeep, Supercuts makes getting a haircut effortless. It's not just any haircut, it's Supercuts. Check in now on the Supercuts app or on supercuts.com.
Can a brother get can I get gift certificate or something like
that? Supercuts?
Supercuts, man. Listen.
You get half off or half head of hair or no?
I mean, like, it's not like I have a bunch, but I definitely need I've gone to Supercuts before. I like Supercuts.
Let me see.
I don't have a ton of hair, so it doesn't take long.
Already quick to begin with.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It can super quick at Supercuts.
All right, let's get to the most disappointing players so far this season and rest of season expectations. Matthew, the first name that came to mind for me, and this may surprise you, he may not be the biggest disappointment, but he is a significant disappointment, is Antonio Gibson. Here's the reason why, Matthew. I can already sniff your rebuttal out because you're going to say, hey, he's got whatever, 10 or more fantasy points in 4 or 5 games. Sure. He's got a couple of games with 15 fantasy points. Here's the problem. All right.
Okay.
The narrative coming into the season was that Antonio Gibson was the player that you might take at the back end of the first round who should have gone top 5 overall. That he was going to be a player that was going to explode onto the scene. He was going to score a ton of touchdowns, and he was going to have a bunch of catches, and he was going to be this difference maker who Mike Clay's bold prediction of the season was he could be the number one finisher in fantasy. And I'm not here to call up Mike Clay. Like, it's a bold prediction for a reason. He's been incredibly, immensely disappointing, Matthew. He has just one top 15 finish so far this year. And he has no more than 3 targets in 5 straight games. He has been incredibly disappointing, just like your defense.
He's been disappointing from the preseason hype, because I was in on that as well. It's been disappointing that he hasn't been, quote, the new CMC, right? That he hasn't been used in the variety of ways that we expected, right? J.D. McKissick's been more involved than I think anyone that drafted Antonio Gibson would have hoped. I have a real issue putting him on the 2021 biggest disappointment so far. He was drafted as running back 12. He had an ADP of 17th overall. For the season, he's running back 19. And some of that's been health, right? No one can predict a shin injury, right? And so I just feel like you draft him as RB12, he comes as running back 19. Is that a disappointment? Sure. Yeah, is that one of the biggest? Like when you sit here and you're like, Miles Gaskin is unusable.
We'll get to him.
I'm just saying,
don't worry.
Yeah, like the rest of the guys in the list are so much bigger disappointments than Antonio Gibson. I personally do not endorse him being on this list. I think the whole team as a whole has been a disappointment, but I do not think Antonio Gibson has been a usable fantasy running back. And not all the guys that were drafted inside the top 20 are.
I think there's a semantics conversation here that you just aren't agreeing with. Because I think I unfortunately agree with Field with the idea that the hype was so big on him coming in that what you got is not.
He hasn't lived up to the hype.
So games of 20 fantasy points. For a guy that was supposed to be this breakout star, zero
games of
20 fantasy points.
That's not that he's not a still usable fantasy player.
He has not lived up to the hype. That is true. But in terms of like, we're basing this sort of off of ADP in terms of what he cost to acquire on draft day versus what he's produced so far, slightly below what you paid for, but there's so much bigger disappointments.
I get what you're saying.
Like Miles Sanders.
Right.
He's brutal.
He's been awful. Sanders has been awful. How many touchdowns do you have this year, Matthew?
I would assume zero.
Probably as many as Matthew.
He has zero. Yeah. Same number that I have so far this year, Daniel. We have a combined zero touchdowns this season.
Wait, Trayvon Diggs has more touchdowns than Miles Sanders does?
Yeah, he does.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, so Miles Sanders was drafted as running back 17. He's running back 33 on the year, and he's basically unusable. You're going to have to use him this week because of all the teams on a bye, but like, in a normal week, he's unusable. To me, Miles Sanders is a massive disappointment compared with Antonio Gibson.
Okay, so again, back to like expectations, right? Is it like Miles Sanders, the guy that, like, you're taking him as an RB2, and it's kind of like, yeah, you know, like, he's an RB2-ish, right?
Wade into my mentions for a little bit, because every time I've been anti-Miles Sanders for 2 years, and people go nuts. He's the best guy. He's amazing. He was better than Saquon Barkley at Penn State. He's going to use him. They've never had a running back like this. Doug Peterson loves him. And then that was 2 years ago. And now it's like, Nick Sirianni, they're going to bring in a new coaching staff who knows what they're doing. Miles Sanders, who's going to take touches from him? Kenneth Gainwell, Boston Scott. Miles Sanders is going to be awesome. He's fantasy gold. Like, literally, there is, like, I don't want to call anyone out specifically, but I will just tell you that there is a reporter who the Eagles is on his beat, and this is somebody who used to work at this company, no longer does, and literally called me out on Twitter for my Miles Sanders hate, just saying, like, he doesn't have the right information. He's going to be fantasy gold. He said that about me, like, you know, just in a tweet that I was tagged in. Ooh. You know, like, because I was just like, I'm anti-Miles Sanders. And I've been proven right 2 years in a row on Miles Sanders.
So far.
And so this guy's like, no, I have sources. He doesn't. He's going to be fantasy gold. Well, you know what? He actually sucks, dude.
All right, we got to keep moving here. Let's just rip through the rest that have been disappointing fast. We talked about him earlier on the show. Allen Robinson, wide receiver 64 so far this season.
Brutal.
I am fully convinced that this is not just about Allen Robinson. As a matter of fact, there's probably very little about Allen Robinson. He's still awesome, right? Like, he did not forget how to be a great wide receiver, but he's averaging 8.4 fantasy games this season. He went 15 picks ahead of Cooper Kupp. That has been super disappointing. And Matthew, as we discussed earlier, when we were hypothetically discussing a deal for Cordarrelle Patterson, like, I suppose things can't get worse for Allen Robinson, but I'm not sure what I have seen so far of things that suggest they're going to get better. Justin Fields, listen, we love Justin Fields as a prospect. He's completing 53% of his passes right now, Matthew.
Yeah.
He have yet to throw for 200 yards in a game this season. I am not expecting a big breakout.
It's been tough. It's been tough with Allen Robinson. I'm not either. So, yeah, I mean, that's what we were talking about with the trade earlier. So, in terms of moving forward, like, do we expect things to get better? For Miles Sanders, we don't. Do we expect things to get better for Allen Robinson? We don't.
And same, how about Julio Jones? Well, I think there's, like, enough of an injury problem there that we can probably, like, discuss that one further. But here's one that also has an injury issue, Matthew, but just, like, the days of him being a golden lottery ticket position seem to be gone. George Kittle was drafted 25th overall, Matthew. 25th overall. He was tight end 4 through 4 weeks, and that's, like, the nicest way of putting it. George Kittle, one of the best players, not just tight ends, in the NFL. And what he does is ridiculous. Best blocking tight end by 10 miles. Incredibly versatile player. But in fantasy, which is a very different calculation, he has not been worth the pick at 25th overall.
No, he certainly hasn't. And look, we'll see what happens over the second half of the year. But if he can't get healthy, it isn't the talent. It's you know, whatever. What's the phrase?
Availability is the best ability.
Yeah, the best ability is availability. Yeah. And so, unfortunately, we just haven't seen that from George Kittle in a long time. It's unfortunate because, again, great player. No one questions his toughness. But
This is strictly a fantasy conversation, our friends.
Real quickly, because I know we're running short on time, we mentioned Brandon Ayuk as a big disappointment. We already mentioned him already. Miles Gaskin, like...
Unplayable.
The entire Dolphins, honestly, as a team, have been a massive disappointment, except maybe Jaylen Waddle, one of your guys. And then this one's baffling to me because, like, Robbie Anderson.
Makes no sense whatsoever. Again, they have 29.5 million reasons to make us think that he's going to be a good player.
And what's weird is like, I mean, off the top of my head, I think he has 22 targets the last two games. Still can't do anything with him. Like, I don't know if he's got the yips or whatever, but like, it's so weird. Reunited with his quarterback from New York, where he had fantasy success. And the Jets had so little that went right for him, but actually Sam Darnold to Robbie Anderson was one thing that actually worked in the Adam Gase era. And he's Robbie Anderson, who, you know, sort of reinvented himself last year in Carolina with his former college coach, Matt Rhule, who he played under at Temple. They signed a $29 million deal in the offseason. They bring over his former pro quarterback. Should be sky's the limit for Robbie Anderson, and he has been absolutely brutal. He was drafted as wide receiver 28. He's wide receiver 67.
So I know we're a little bit over on time, but to close out the show, I just want to ask the same question we talked about, the biggest surprises, the guys that we liked. Are there any actionables with these guys, or are most of them guys that are like, well, I can't cut Robbie Anderson. I can't cut Brandon Ayuk because the talent's too good. Or are any of these guys welcome to Dumpsville for you?
So Kyle just texted me. So the last three games, Robbie Anderson's targets 11, 7, 11 the week before that. So
what do you do with
so
that?
29 targets the last 3 weeks. And he's wide receiver 67 on the season. He is welcome Dumpsville for me.
Daniel, the actionable is that I could tell you could hold on to these guys. I mean, if you could trade them for anything of value, I'd do it. Anything. Anything of value. Anything. A quarterback here in a stream for 3 weeks, I'd do that. It's
whatever your team needs. If your team needs it and you need to drop one of these guys in order to keep winning.
You need a roster spot. Yeah. You can just drop them. Like Matthew said, any of these players.
A subscription to rotopass.com. Trade it for that. Trade it for anything. Trade it for a cup of coffee. Anyways. Yeah, trade it for a gift certificate to Supercuts. Supercuts.
I like
Super
it.
Cuts. Are you back tomorrow or no?
I am not tomorrow. Okay. I'll be writing Love Hate tonight. I think Mike Clay is in tomorrow, right?
Mike Clay and Daniel are both in. I will be off, just for a moment, I am going to be off tomorrow and Friday from the show. Very special honor. I am officiating the wedding of our best friends this weekend on Friday night. So Sam and Randy, cannot wait to see you guys.
That is awesome. I met them at your wedding.
Yes, Sam
amazing
officiated
people.
Our wedding. Yes.
Sam did a great job officiating your wedding.
A lot of pressure to meet that.
You're talking to me. Like I have officiated a couple of weddings in my life as well. Yeah. It is a lot of pressure. I know you will do a great job. Sam did a great job at yours. I know you'll return the favor. They're a great couple. Send them my love, please.
Yes.
And a big congratulations to Sam and Randy from the entire 06010. So tomorrow, Daniel and Mike. Friday, me, Daniel, and Stefania.
That's
she should
right.
be back from boondoggling. There'll be a new Love Hate out tomorrow. Rankings are up on ESPN.com for Field and Daniel and Kyle. I'm Matthew. Peace out.
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guy. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride. Candidly, he hates Mike Clay, and you know that it's a fact. Every Yater's gonna Yate, 'cause he's on TV every day. A spicy tomato who's got the stats and tweets that'll make you laugh. He's our favorite host, and everybody knows his name. He's Field.